All right, we'll say good morning. A lot to do today. Exciting day ahead of us, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is daf hey. We are going to pick up on the bottom of Dalet Amud Beis. So today's daf is 5. We're picking up 4b, and we are picking up 4 lines up from the bottom. A lot of very exciting gemara today. We'll say a shir this morning, and this month is dedicated by Ayal and Sarah Steinberg. In commemoration of the Yartzeit of Ayal's mother, Elia Daphna Bas Yosef, we hope that in the merit of our Tamar Torah Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. Thank you for the sponsorship. All right, Tavosei, so let's begin. 4 lines up from the bottom, Dalet Amud Beis, 4b, Ema. So let's remember again, yesterday we had a very fulfilling and successful day in Mesechas Zvachim, and what we established was 2 things. Number one, that a karban must be shechted, lishma, lishim karban, that when shechting it again, one must have in mind for the specific type of karban being offered. And we showed how that applied to the 4 different parts of Shechita, Kabbalah, Holocha, Zriga. And we also established that the carbon has to be offered the Shem Bailim. Should be offered for the sake of the particular owner. And we also established that that applies ultimately again to the 4 different stages of Shechita, Kabbalah, Zriga, Holocha. But so now the Gemara asks a simple question. Ema, Hecha deshachet lu shelo lishma, lifso. So I don't understand. Now that we've established, Rabbi Osei, that halacha lamaisi require the shema by the carbon, both for the type of carbon as well as for the owner. So why not say that if you don't do the carbon, I'm just going to say do the carbon lishma, then ultimately the carbon is pasul. Yet Rabbi Osei, we know that that's not the case. We know that ultimately the Mishnah tells us that what, that halacha lamaisa, that even if you shechted a carbon for the wrong intention, for the wrong type of carbon, the carbon works. It just doesn't necessarily satisfy the obligation of the bailim. So if lishma is indeed so important, and indeed again we've proven that lamaisa, again it's an integral part of this process, so why not say that if you don't do it lishma, the carbon should be pasul? Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Motzos Vasecha Tishmar Vaasisa Kasher Nadat. So remember again, the Gemara over here quotes the pasuk that we saw on Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, which is about this idea of Motzos Vasecha Tishmar, the words of your mouth you shall honor, right? Vaasisa Kasher Nadat, you shall do as you vowed. As you vowed. And remember again, the pasuk ends off by saying, Nedava asher nedal shem lakecha, Nedava asher dibarta beficha. On Nedava, as you spoke with your mouth. So let's remember again the drasha. The drasha was, Hai Nedava nederhu. Let's remember again, the pasuk begins speaking about a neder, right, which is a vow offering. The pasuk ends off by speaking about nedava, which is a voluntary offering. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about a neder or a nedava? To which the Gemara says, Elo, im kamashna darta sisi yehe neder. So remember again, we'll say the Gemara darshins, if you originally pledged a neder, and when you started this process of the carbon, you had in mind for a neder, then it'll be a neder. But if not, ultimately again, it'll be in a davar. Chavose means what? What is the Gemara proving from that pasuk? What it's proving is that halacha lemaisa, if you change the intention of a karban while engaged in the sacrificial service, then what is the halacha? The karban is still kosher. So therefore the Gemara is proving from the pasuk that halacha lemaisa again, even though one should have lishma by karban, if one changed the intention for the particular karban for the purpose it's being offered, halacha lemaisa again, the karban is still kosher. To which the Gemara says, v'itzrich motzas vasecha v'itzrich zosata as well. Say, now, interestingly enough, we have 2 psukim that are really seemingly teaching us the same type of thing. The pasuk we ended off yesterday's daf with, which is, zosat Torah li'ola l'mincha l'chatas la'ashem l'miluim v'la'zevach ha'shlamim. So remember again, the Gemara dashing that the Torah equates all karbanos to shlamim. Just like shlamim require ultimately again lishma, so to all karbanos require lishma. That's the chatrila. The Gemara also quotes the pasuk by Motzos Vasecha Tishmar, which also tells us that lechatrila the karban should be lishma, but in the event that it was offered up l'shem some other karban, that ultimately again the karban is still kosher. So why do I need both? To which the Gemara says, Dikas of Rachmana Motzos Vasecha Tishmar. If the Pas Torah would have just said the Pasuk of Motzos Vasecha, Hava Amino, or I should say Tapafei, Lo Yod de Bemai Kas of Rachmana, Zos HaTorah. But say, if we just would have said Motzos Vasecha Tishmar, I ultimately, again, would not know what to apply the pasuk of Zos HaTorah to. Take a look at the top Rashi, Hei Madalif. Lo Yadina B'mai, Kamar Achman HaMotz Asa Secha Tishmar, Dehalok Se Beheje B'haikra, Avodas Lishman. V'dilma Lav B'lishman Mishtaikra, Kasev Rachman HaZos HaTorah Sebosei. So again, the Gemara says, without the pasuk, without, if the Torah would have just said Motzah Sasecha, then ultimately again I would not know what to apply the pasuk of Zos HaTorah to, because of Rachmana Zos HaTorah. And if the Torah would have just said the pasuk of Zos HaTorah, Hava Amina Lifsalo, I would have thought that what? That the halacha is when you don't offer up a karban lishma, it should be pasul ultimately again the gamre. It should be pasul altogether. Therefore, again, the pasuk says, Kasav Rachmana, Motzah Svasecha Tishmar. Therefore, the Gemara Torah used the pasuk Motzah Svasecha Tishmar, which teaches me what? That halacha lemais although lechatchila, one should offer up the karban lishma, bidi eved, it is still kosher. Rami Reish Lakish. So we'll listen to this, I'm sorry. Rami Reish Lakish, Amma Ohi Be Midrasha. Reish Lakish literally translated means he was lying on his stomach. The idea being that Reish Lakish was reclining in the base medrash. Umakshi. And he raised the following question. Im Kesherim Heim Yirtzu, Vim Ein Maratzin Lama Heim Bonus. We'll say Reish Lakish here asks a fundamental question, which is, here's what we have according to the Mishnah. According to the Mishnah, if you offer up a karban, not lishma. In other words, we'll say, I'm offering up an ola, and I have in mind for a shlamim. So what's the halacha? We'll say, what's the halacha? The karban is good, but it does not count towards the owner's obligation. Reish Lakish says, I don't understand that. Mimanav shach. If the karban is a good karban, then it should count towards the owner's obligation. And if it doesn't count towards the owner's obligation, then what? Then what? Then it's not really a good karban. Reish Lakish is asking, on how do you know how to divide these two things up? I would think that they go together. If it's a good karban, it satisfies the owner's obligation. If it doesn't satisfy the owner's obligation, it's not a good karban. So that's what he means. He says, the Gemara says, im kishirim heim, if the karban is good, heim yirtzu, then ultimately it should satisfy the owner's obligation. Vim imiratzin, and if it doesn't satisfy the owner's obligation, lema bain, then ultimately, again, what purpose do they serve? Let's look at Rashi for just a moment. Lamahin boin. Rashi says, "Vakati lo kama leitaimer demaslis and diafinim motzas hasecha." The Rashi just points out over here that Reish Lakish obviously is stating this prior to the drasha of motzas vasecha. Because we also remember again, based on the pasuk that we just saw again on the base over here, that pasuk of motzas vasecha is the pasuk that teaches me that even if halacha lemaisa I offer up a karban for not lishma, or it's for a different purpose, that Allah Kalamaisa the carbon is still kasha. So Reish Lakish, according to Rashi, is posing this question before that drasha. So listen to this. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Reish Lakish as follows. Matzinu beboin la'achar misa, shein ksherin ve'imaratzin. So he says to Reish Lakish as follows. The truth is, we see an example, because for example, there are certain carbonos that can be brought even after the death of the owner. The Bible says, if they can be brought after the death of the owner, then what? Ksherim, the carbon is kasher, ve'im meratzin. But obviously, they don't affect any type of obligation or atonement on behalf of the owner. Now, that's obvious that they don't have an implication vis-a-vis the owner. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because the might say the owner is dead. So the point that Rabbi Loz is making is, you see the concept of a carbon that is being brought ultimately again to satisfy some type of obligation, but yet does not affect any atonement on behalf of the owner. Where do we see this? This night, Rabbi Loz is actually a very interesting case. Haisha Shevia Chatasa Umesa. We'll say this week's parasha, Karban Yoledes. If a woman goes ahead and brought her chatos and then she dies. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Haisha Yoledes. No, a woman who gave birth. So we'll say she offered up her karban chatos, and before she had a chance to go ahead and bring her ola, right, a Yoledes brings a chatos and an ola. So if she went ahead, she brings her chatos and then she dies. She dies before she has a chance to bring her ola. So what's the halacha? Yaviu Yershin Olasa. The Yershin ultimately bring the ola on her behalf. They bring her ola. So the Gemara says, Olasa Umesa. But if she brought her ola and then she died, or she died before she brought her chatas, then what? Lo Yaviu Yershin Chatasa. the Yershin do not bring her chatos. Rashi says, lo yaviu Yershin chatoso, dahavi lechatos shemesu ba'aleha. Because we'll say in that case, this is a situation of a chatos whose owner has died. We'll say the halacha is that a chatos whose owner has died, the carbon is just simply left to die. It's not offered up. So the Gemara says as follows. So what's Rabbi Eliezer's point? Rabbi Eliezer's point is you see that there's the concept of offering up a carbon, even though the carbon no longer has any relationship ultimately to the owner. That's the case over here. The woman went ahead and offered up, or we'll say her chatos, and then she died. What do the Yarshin do? The Yarshin offer up her ola. What's the connection between the Yoledes and the Ola? And the answer is nothing, because the Yoledes is dead. And she died already. There is no connection. But yet again, the carbon could still be offered up to satisfy some obligation, even though it no longer has a relationship to its owner. Rebbe Elazar is just saying this to Reish Lakish. That's why you could have a concept that if a carbon is offered up for the wrong intention, supposed to be a shlamim, it's offered up as an ola. So we'll say, what's the halacha? What did the Mishnah say? The carbon is good, it just doesn't have a relationship to its owner. So the owner doesn't satisfy his obligation through that carbon. And all Rabbi Elazar is trying to show us is, there is a concept of a carbon, quote-unquote, being a legitimate offering, but not having a relationship to the person who is bringing it. To which the Gemara says, Amarle. So Reish Lakish's response is, listen, Modina lacha ba'ola da'asila achamisa. So the truth is, I will agree with you with an ola, because an ola is different. An ola is the type of carbon which can be brought even after the death of the owner. Look at Rashi. Modina lacha ba'ola shimshachta shelo lishman shetiskarif afa pi shena meratza hoil umatzino sheba'ola achamisa ve'ina meratza. So Reish Lakish says, listen, ola might be an exception to this rule, because ola we find a precedent, as we'll see a little bit later, that halacha lemaisa could be offered up even after the death of the owner. However, asham delo asila achamisa minalan. And we'll say, what about an asham, Reish Lakish asks? Now he's becoming a little bit more kabbanically specific. An asham. An asham is a sin offering, same category as the chatas. We'll discuss when you bring an asham and you bring a chatas. What about an asham? So an asham, we'll say, cannot be brought after the death of the owner. So let's say again, Reuven had to bring an asham. He separates out the animal. Reuven dies. We don't offer up that asham. That asham is left to die. So Reish Lakish, let's take an asham, which is a carbon which cannot be offered up after the death of the owner. Sin offering cannot be offered up after the death of the owner. If an asham is offered up for the wrong purpose, let's say again, Reuven's offering up an asham, and at the time he has in mind not for an asham but for a toda, for argument's sake. So what are the Mishnah Paskin? The Mishnah Paskin that the asham will be kosher, right? But won't be misyachis, will not satisfy the obligation of the owner. So Reish Lakish, so we'll say, follow this logic. Reish Lakish, Rabbi Elazar, the raya, the proof you bring to me that a carbon could be a good carbon even though it doesn't have a relationship to the owner, is the fact that a carbon could even be offered after the death of the owner. So Reish Lakish says, that's fine for the category of carbonos which could be offered up after the death of the owner. What about a carbon like an asham, which cannot be offered up after the death of the owner? How do you know that if that carbon is offered up for the wrong intention, that it's a legitimate carbon altogether? I would say that once it doesn't have a relationship to the owner, then what? Then it's a totally non-viable carbonic offering. Amrale, hari machloch sabitzido. So Rebbe Elazar says, listen, the truth is, you're right, there is someone who agrees with you. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Af Ha'asham. So we'll say, I'm sorry, before, and actually that's the Mesoras HaShas changes this to Rabbi Elazar. So this is a conversation of Rabbi Elazar and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Elazar says to Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish, you're right, there is someone in Mishnah who holds like you. Who's the someone in the Mishnah who holds like you? Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar, what does Rabbi Elazar say? Af Ha'asham. Rabbi Elazar is one of the Mishnah who says, that I will say, if you offer up an asham for the wrong purpose, then not only does the carbon not count to the owner, but what? The carbon is in fact not a legitimate offering. So Reish Lakish says, it's about this one who people say is a great man. After all, Anna, Mishnah Shlema, Va'at Amrit Li Rabbi Eliezer. Reish Lakish is saying to Rabbi Elazar, don't quote me Rabbi Eliezer. I know that there's another opinion. I'm asking according to the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan who say that if you were to take an asham and you were to offer it up for the wrong carbon, Lishma for the wrong carbon. So the Rabbanan say that the asham is a proper offering. It just doesn't count for the obligation to the owner. Rabbi Loz is saying, I'm asking on them. Where do you get that concept from? I would say that once it doesn't affect atonement for the owner, then what? It's not a good carbon altogether. Rabbanan, where do you glean your shita from? Ela omrei shlokish. Eftach ana pischal nafshoi. So Shlokish says, you know what? I'm just going to answer my own question. What's that good Muslim life? Sometimes when people can't answer your question, you have to find an answer to your own question. What's about say here? Reish Lakish quotes the drasha that we saw before. Motza svasacha tishmar. So remember again, we'll say, this is what we said before. Reish Lakish didn't know this drasha at the time when he posed this question. He poses the question, and now he comes full circle to this drasha. Motza svasacha tishmar. We'll say, why does the Pasuk say, why Pasuk is talking about a neder, why does the Pasuk transition to speaking about a nedava? We'll say, again, that's the drasha that we saw before, to teach me that, again, if I pledged a neder, and I follow through as a neder, wonderful, but if I pledged a neder and then switched it to a nedava, ultimately, again, the carbon retains its nedava status. From this Pasuk, we see that what? That Allah Lamaisa, if you end up offering up a carbon for the sake of a different, unintended carbon, the carbon is good, but ultimately does not satisfy the obligation of the owner. So we'll say, Sri Shlakish therefore effectively answers his own question and understands the sheet of the Rabbanon in the Mishnah. Yosef Rabbi Zira. So we'll say, we're just to understand where we're holding right now is we've established the obligation of Lishma, both to have in mind the type of carbon, both to have in mind for the sake of the owner, but we've also established that Halacha Lamaisa, in the event that one did not have lishma, the carbon is still kosher. Kosher meaning that the carbon is still a valid offering, but does not satisfy the obligation of the owners. Yosef Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yitzchak Baraba, Yosef Abaye Gabayu. So we'll say Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yitzchak Baraba were sitting, and Abaye was by them. Yosef Ka'amri, and ultimately again they were talking and they said the following. Kash Yilal Reish Lakish Asham. Reish Lakish's problem, both sides, was the Asham. Right? Why was Reish Lakish's problem the Asham? Because Asham is an example of a carbon that cannot be offered up after the death of the owner. Rabbi say, when you have a carbon that cannot be offered up after death, the owner will say, what does that show you? Or at least in Reish Lakish's mind, what does that show you? It shows you that there is an unbreakable bond between the carbon and the owner. And if the owner ultimately, again, is not part of the carbonic process, then the carbon is not good. Reish Lakish intuitively understood that that should mean that even if the owner is alive, but the asham was not offered up for the sake of that owner, or for that matter, for a different carbon, if it doesn't affect atonement for the owner, then what? Then the carbon is not a valid carbon. That was Reish Lakish's problem with asham. So remember again, Reish Lakish's problem was the fact that asham cannot be brought after death, but yet Reish Lakish himself brings the pasuk amotza sasecha, ema haba b'nedra b'nedava laisi v'lo lirtzi. So the Gemara says Reish Lakish seemed to answer his own question by bringing the pasuk amotza svasecha. The Gemara now asks on Reish Lakish's answer to his own question. That pasuk amotza sasecha only talks about nedra and nedava. Maybe it only teaches me that a carbon which could be brought as a neder or a nedava, if there is a shinui, if there's some type of change in the lishma component, the carbon will still be good. Asham lo laisi klal. I will say, but a asham, remember again, which can never be brought as a neder or a nedava, maybe lemaisef, there is some type of change in the lishma component, whether it's the lishma for the type of carbon or lishma for the owner, maybe the carbon should not be brought at all. Amrlu Abaye, so Abaye says, okay, Reish Lakish mehacha pasach. Reish Lakish, the truth is, learns it out from here. V'shachat osa l'chatos. Pasuk says, you shall shecht it as a chatos. Osa lishma kshera, shalo lishma psula. It is only a chatos, Rav Osai, which has the word v'shachat osa. Osa l'chatos. The chatos has to be offered up as, or I say, the carbon has to be offered up as a chatos. It is only a chatos that what? The Rebbe says has to be offered up lishma. And if it's offered up lishma, it's kosher. Shalo lishma psula. And if it's not lishma, then ultimately it'll be pasul. It is only the chatos, Rebbe says, which has this indispensable component of lishma. Hashar kachim shalo lishman ksherin. Rebbe says, by other kachim, other carbonos, even if they are offered up shalo lishma, ultimately, again, should still be kosher. Yachol yirtzu, I'm out of thought that therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, they will also affect the atonement on behalf of the owner. In other words, that there'll also be misachis to the owner. Talmud Omar, Motza Svasecha. Ultimately, again, the Pasuk teaches me Motza Svasecha, Shavose tells me what? That once you change the designation of the karban, even though halacha lemaisa, again, the karban is still a valid karban, but nevertheless, it does not count towards the owner. I, ve'ema haba b'neder nedav alaisi, v'lo lirtzi, asham nami artsuye nami lirtzi, to which the Gemara says, well, maybe I see the opposite drasha. Maybe it's only neder and nedava which can be brought, but ultimately what? Cannot affect atonement on behalf of the owner. But maybe halach lamaisa asham cannot only be brought, but also affects atonement on behalf of the owner. Amrabai mishum demirtzi lo matzis amris. Abai says no. The ability to go ahead and say that halacha lemaisa, the carbon affects the obligation of, works the obligation of the owner, that far you can't go. Why? Amrit kavachomer. So, kavachomer omer. We'll say we can make kavachomer from ola. Uma ola, she'ino mecha peres, eino meratze. So, we'll say ultimately again, an ola which does not affect atonement, can be offered up if offered up for the wrong intention, but eino meratze does not count towards the owner's obligation. Asham shemechaper eino din sheino meratze. But say an asham which has a much more closely, much closer relationship to its owner. But say it's actually an incredible yisod. An asham has a closer relationship to its owner. What does it mean? An asham has a close relationship to its owner. See, the Bosei, again, remember, an asham is mechaper. An asham atones. So, because an asham atones, by definition, it's much more closely linked to its owner. So, if an ola which does not atone doesn't have the ability to count towards the obligation of the owner, if not offered up lishma, then what? Then certainly the asham, which I will say does atone, cannot go ahead and satisfy the owner's obligation if it is not offered up lishma. To which the Gemara says, Shlamim yuchichu, we could bring a raya from Shlamim. What's the raya from Shlamim? Ma l'shlamim shekein tun in the sachet. So we'll say, so Gemara says, well, we could prove it from Shlamim. Because the Gemara says, but Shlamim is different also. Why? Shekein tun in the sachin utnufas chazei v'shok. We'll say Shlamim is different because the Shlamim requires in the sachin wine libations. And tnufas chazei v'shok also means a waving of the chest and of the thigh. Ola tochiach, so you can prove it from Ola. To which the Gemara says, "Wachazir hadin lo reizeh kiri izeh, v'lo reizeh kiri izeh." Again, the Rebbe says all of these comparisons fall up a bit short because halacha lemaisa, each of their karbanos have their own unique aspect. Zeh atzad hashav shebahen. So, what is the common karbanic denominator? Shin kodshim ushachtan shelo lishman ksheirin ve'imaratzin. We'll say the common denominator amongst all of these karbanos, we'll say, is that if you shech them, not for their intended purpose, which also means there's a shinoi, there's a change in the designation of the karban. The halacha is they are ksherin, they are kosher, ve'imiratzin. We'll say imiratzin means what? They do not count towards the owner's obligation. So the karban will still be kosher, but will not count towards the obligation. Af ani avi asham. So too, I will bring a karban asham, shehu kodesh, which Rabbi say is sanctified, v'shachto shalo lishmo kosher, and even if you shecht it again, not for its intended purpose, the karban will be kosher. However, ve'eno meratza. Rabbi say it will not count towards the owner's obligation. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Won't count towards the owner's obligation. So Rabbi says, but why don't you say instead that maybe the tzada shabbat? We'll say maybe ultimately again the common denominator in all of this is what? Shekin yeshna b'tzibor. The Rebbe say again they have a public component to it. Right? A public component to it, to which the Gemara says, Tod the tochiach. We'll say if that's the case, the carbon toda ultimately again can prove this one. We'll say, Amad beis, carbon tochiach. Excuse me, Toda Tochiach, Sigmar says, Malatoda Shekin Tuunin Lechem Lechem. We'll say Carbon Toda is a bit different. Why? Because the Carbon Toda has an obligation to bring accompanying loaves. Ola Ushlamim Yochichu. So we'll say, prove it from Ola Ushlamim, to which again the Gemara says, V'chazir Adin, Lo Re'izeh Kiri Izeh, V'lo Re'izeh Kiri Izeh. We'll say again, each of them has their own unique peculiarity. Hatsada Shava Shebahen Shen Kodshim Vishachtan Shalodushman Kasher. What's the common denominator in all of these cases are they're all sacrificial items and Halacha Lamaisa if Shechted Shalodushma, meaning Shechted for the purpose of a different carbon, they are still kosher, Ve'ino Meratze, but they do not go ahead and affect atonement on behalf of the or satisfy the obligation of the owner. Av Ani Avi Asham Shu Kodesh Vishachto Shalodushmo
kasher ve'ino meratza. So too, I will include asham in this category and tell you that asham is the same, which is nimi say what? Did halacha lemaisa? Halacha lemaisa. If you brought in asham and you shechted it, not for its intended purpose, you shechted it l'shem shlamim, l'shem toda, that the carbon will still be kosher, but will not affect atonement on behalf of the owner. I ask the Gemara. Why don't you say about that the common denominator? The tzad hashav is shein bo'in b'nedo b'nedava. That ultimately, again, all of these other say we are on hey amud beis 2, 4, 6, 7 lines down from the top. Six lines down from the top. Why don't you say Mala Tzad Hashav Shabbain Shein Boin Benedar Benedava? Why don't you say about say that Tzad Hashav is what? That Halach LaMeisa, these carbonos can be brought as a neder or a nedava. I would say as opposed to what? As opposed to asham, which cannot be brought as a neder or a nedava. To which the Gemara says Ela Amar Rava Zos HaTorah. So again, remember, Rava comes along. Remember again, we have two primary drushos that we are kind of bouncing back and forth between. So we had Motza Svasecha Tishmar. From that pasuk, we learned that what? That even if you started out as what? As a neder. But that it had in mind for a nedava. Der halach lamaisa, it becomes a nedava. And from that pasuk, we learned the principle that halach lamaisa, even if you change, even if you have a shinu, if you have a change in the kavana of the carbon is still good, it just doesn't affect atonement, or it's not misyachis, it's not connected to the owner. The other pasuk that the Gemara quotes is this Zos HaTorah. We'll say that's the pasuk of Zos HaTorah, the Ola Lemincha, Lechatas, La'ashim, V'lamiluim, V'lazevach HaShlamim. That's the pasuk that goes ahead and equates all karbanos to shlamim. Mashlamim shem kodshim b'shachtan shalol b'shmak sherim. Just like by shlamim, which is a sacrificial item, it's kodshim. And if you shechted shalol b'shma, it's kosher. Ve'ein meratzin. But ultimately, again, it does not. Ein meratzin means it's not connected to the owner, which means it doesn't satisfy any of the owner's obligation. Af ani avi asham shukodesh. Ultimately, again, I can learn out from this that what? That asham is the same thing as well. Asham is also part of the carbonic family. All members of the carbonic family are compared to shlamim. Shlam becomes the paradigmatic example of what happens when carbonos go wrong. I'll say, what happens when carbonos go wrong, when I offer it up for the wrong intention? Just like the shlamim is still a kosher carbon. But again, it does not affect atonement on behalf of the owner. When I say affect atonement, lav dafka tom, meaning it's not... doesn't satisfy the owner's obligation. So to any carbon, including an asham, if it is offered up, Rabbi Osai, not for the intended purpose that it was originally set aside for. It wasn't shechted as an asham, it was shechted as something else. The carbon will work, but it will not satisfy the owner's obligation. To which the Gemara says, my chazis, the akshis l'shlam. So here's what we have so far. In the carbonic family, essentially what we have is two different paradigmatic examples. One is the shlamim, one is the chatos. Now, the shlamim, based on the pasuk, everything is compared to shlamim. And in the carbon shlamim framework, if you offer up a carbon for the wrong intention, well, say wrong intention either means one of two things. Either it was supposed to be a shlamim, but you had in mind for a different type of carbon, or what's the second possibility? You had in mind for the wrong owners. So I'll say, what's the halacha by shlamim? The carbon is still a kasher carbon. It's going to be offered up in accordance with whatever its new designation is, and it does not satisfy the obligation of the owner. That's shlamim. The exception to this rule seems to be what? Chatos. That if you have a chatos that is offered up for the wrong intentions, what's the halacha? Not only does the carbon, not only does it not satisfy the owner's obligation, but what? The carbon itself is pasul. What we're trying to figure out is where does asham fit, which category does asham fit into? What we just have established is that asham fits into the shlamim category, because all karbanos are compared to shlamim. And therefore, again, Asham is the same thing. If you offer up an Asham Shalom Lishma, in whichever one of the two Lishma ways, non-Lishma ways, so now Loch HaLamayisa, the carbon will be a kasher carbon, but it does not satisfy the owner's obligation. To which the Gemara asks, I don't understand, why are you comparing Asham ultimately again to Shlomim? Why not go ahead and what? Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, My chaz is the akshus l'shlamim, Gemara says, akish l'chata. So we'll say it's right across from Tosos Miyate. Why don't you go ahead and compare an asham to a chatas? And I will say there's even a stronger reason to compare an asham to a chatas, which is what? They're both sin offerings. Right? They're both sin offerings. So we'll say, remember again, Reish Lakish's entire shayla was all about asham. Asham was like the lightning rod for all of this. Now we just establish, okay, asham is in the shlamim category. Why would you compare asham to shlamim? Why not go ahead and compare asham to chatas? And we'll say, what's halacha by chatas? If offered up again, shalom l'shma, not only does the carbon not satisfy the obligation of the owners, but what? The carbon itself is pasul. So why not say that asham is the same thing? It's a legitimate shayla, to which the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you why. Ela amar rabba, zos ha-torah. I'm sorry. So it says the Gemara, Hamiyet Rahmana Osa. Well, so remember again, the difference by Chatos is the Torah goes out of its way to do what? Torah says, V'samach es yado arosh ha-chatos, v'shachat osa l'chatos. Well, so we dashed before that Chatos has this word osa, which means that what? Chatos is in a category of its own. That Chatos has this unique stringency that everything must be done l'shma. And if it's not done l'shma, then halacha l'maisa again, the chatas will be pasul, and therefore again, certainly does not satisfy the obligation of the owners. But that is a unique halacha to chatas. Nothing else is in this category. Yosef Rafuna of Rav Nachman, Vyasa Rav Sheshas Gabayu, Vyasi Veka Amri, so also remember again, Rafuna and Rav Nachman are sitting together. Rav Sheshas comes along and joins them. And they're sitting and they're talking, and they say, Kash Yilei Reish Lakish Asham. Reish Lakish is proudable. So Reish Lakish's question in this whole discussion is Asham. Why? Dalo Asi La'achar Misa. So let's remember again, because Reish Lakish's problem with Asham was that Asham clearly needs a link to its owner. What's the proof to that? The proof to that is that if the owner dies, you don't offer up the Asham on his behalf, as opposed to other karbanos, where if the owner dies, the Yarshim could offer up the karban on behalf of the deceased. Ultimately, again, Asham, that's not true. Since Asham requires a strong connection to its owner, I would be tempted to say that any case where the Asham does not affect atonement for the owner, then what? The karban itself should not be good. To which the Gemara says, "Leimalei Rebbe Lazar, Asham nami asilach amisa." Why didn't Rebbe Lazar say to Reish Lakish, "You know what? An Asham could also be offered up after death." I will say, now what does that mean? It's before Shalacha that if Reuven set aside an Asham and then Reuven died, that we do not offer up that Asham after Reuven's death. So the Gemara says, or Rebbe Lazar should have said to Reish Lakish, we do offer up an Asham after the owner's death. So what does that mean? I'll say, take a look at the top Rashi. It's the second line down from the top. Kashe the Reish Lakish, Asham Mishum Lo Asi Lachamisa, Lemele Rebbe Lezer, Asham Nami Asi Lachamisa. So what does that mean? We could offer up an Asham after the death of the owner. She Asham Shemesu Bailov, Roa, V'damav Noflin Leketzim Izbeach. So let's listen to this. What do you do with an Asham? Reuven set aside a carbon as an Asham. Then what happens? Reuven dies. We'll say, what do we do with that animal? Yeah. We let it graze until it develops a mum. Once it develops a mum, you redeem it. That money, therefore, is then used for, we'll say, what we call Ketzim Mizbeach. Ketzim Mizbeach, we'll say, means that, remember, we never want the Mizbeach to remain dormant. As such, again, there was a carbonic fund. And there was a carbonic fund, which meant that when there were no other carbonos being offered up, the Beis HaMikdash would offer up its own carbonos. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Essentially, we do offer up the Asham after the death of the owner. We just offer it up in a little bit of a different way. We take the money from the sale, from the redemption of the Asham, and we use that ultimately again to offer up karbanos. So why doesn't Rebbe Lazar say to Reish Lakish, we do offer up a karban Asham, even after the death of the owner, albeit in a little bit more of an indirect way? To To which the Gemara says, Amalu Reshesh, Asham Lemai Karav, Lemosarov. That's not a different. In other words, what do you mean when we say that Asham can be offered? We'll say Lemosarov means that Halacha Lemaisa, we take the funds. After the Asham develops a mum, we redeem the animal, you take the money and you use it to purchase Kabbana Solem is Beach. Chatos Nami Mikrav Karav Mosaras. Well, if that's the case, then you can make the claim that what? That a chatas is also offered up after the death of the owner. To which the Gemara says, chatas afagav the kavra mosaras miyit rachmano hu. But say, here's the difference. By chatas, even if you want to say that halacha lemaisa, because we'll say the process is the same for a chatas. Reuven separates out a chatas, Reuven dies. What do we do with the chatas? We let it graze, develop a mum, redeem the animal, give that money to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash ultimately again uses that money to go and offer up karbanos. So we'll say, Bechatos is different. Chatos, you have an exclusionary word of who, and ultimately, which teaches me that chatos must be offered up l'shma, both l'shem bailim and l'shem karban, and if it's not, it's going to be totally possible. Asham nami haksiv behu. But one second, by asham, it also says the word who. So you'll say, we're trying to figure out, do you understand? It's quite riveting, this tension. On one hand, what we seem to have successfully established is that Asham is part of the Shlamim Karbanic Network. And as being part of the Shlamim Karbanic Network, what that tells me is that Halacha L'maisa, even if it's not offered up L'shma, the Karban is still good, just doesn't satisfy the owner's obligation. The tension with that is that Asham is a sin offering. So because it's a sin offering, I would be much more likely to align it with what? With chatas. And chatas has a dramatically unique halacha. The halacha with chatas, I will say, is that if the owner dies, the carbon is not offered up. And not only that, by chatas, if it's not offered up, l'shma, not only does the carbon not satisfy the owner's obligation, but what? The carbon itself is pasul. So it makes so much more sense to go ahead and align asham with chatas. I will say, that's the tension over here. It's like everybody is fighting over asham. Everybody wants Asham. The Shlomim family wants Asham. The Chatos family wants Asham. And we're stuck in the middle of this familial, this karbanic tug of war to try to figure out where does Asham belong. To which the Gemara now says, Asham doesn't belong with Chatos. And I'll tell you why. Chatos is a category totally on its own. Why? Because it's Xeris HaKosef. Because the Torah goes in and Dafka uses the word of Chatos Hu. It is a Chatos, which means Chatos has its own unique halachas. Nothing else is like Chatos. To which the Gemara says, one second. It also says the word who by Asham. To which the Gemara says, no. Hahu la'achar haktaras emurim hu dichsiv. We'll say that who by Asham is written ultimately where? Is ultimately written after the burning of the limbs, already after the sacrificial service. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Asham namik siv be Asham hu. B'tzav v'saron, v'ktira v'zvecha, Asham la'ashem, Asham hu. B'zman shu l'shem Asham kasher v'im laf pasal. Why don't you say that ultimately again it says, who by Asham as well? Maybe who by Asham as well teaches me that Asham must be offered up l'shma. And if any part of the Asham offering is not l'shma, then not only does it not count towards the owner's obligation, but what? The carbon itself is pasal. To which the Gemara says, ha'hu l'achar akhtar se morem hu dechsev, kidisanyo. Ava Asham lo ne'emar bohu, Ella la'achar haktaras imurin. Ultimately, again, so we'll say that who is only written by after the burning of the limbs. So we'll say after the burning of the limbs, pretty much the carbon has already affected its atonement. Therefore, you can't learn anything out of that who. So the Gemara says, "V'hu atzmo imlo ektiru imurin kasher." We'll say we're going to see this. By the way, one of the fascinating parts about carbonos, so we'll say, is that at what point in time does a carbon really become effective? At zrika. The sprinkling of the blood is perhaps the most pivotal part of the karbanic process. That's why we will see that as much as karbanos have multiple stages, you have to get to zrika. Once you got to zrika, you're golden. Even if you omit or you leave out or you mess up on some subsequent parts of the karban, halacha l'maaseh, the karban itself is still kosher. The hu by asham is written by the burning of the limbs. Burning of the limbs, that's already much later on in the process, and everyone will agree that that is not a pivotal part of the karbanic process, and therefore you can't learn out anything from that who. Ve'elohu lamali. So why do I need the who? But who is written by Asham? It is written there. So what does it come to teach me? L'chid rafuna marav, dam rafuna marav. Asham shenitak l'ri'ya. Let's listen to this case. It teaches me this follows. Asham shenitak l'raya, right? And I will say, so nitak literally means was removed. An asham which was removed and set out to pasture. Now, what's the case of an asham which was like a retired asham? What's the retired asham? Shenetak l'raya. The Rebbe says means set out the pasture. Shemit Rashi says. Rebbe says it's Rashi right across. Shenetak l'raya. Shemisu bala. Rebbe says an asham whose owners died. Ocean is kapru ba'acher. Or for that matter, Rebbe say what happened? Let's say again the owners set aside a carbon, and then what happens? They ended up just designating another carbon. And went ahead and finding kapara with a different carbon. Benitak midin asham l'raya shomer l'beis in hotziv yeres. We'll say this is a case ultimately again of an asham which was retired. Now an asham can be retired for one of two reasons: either because its owners die. When I say retirement, set out the pasture. Its owners die, or for some reason there was some type of confusion, and the owners ended up satisfying their obligation, or they'll say Reuven ended up satisfying their obligation with another animal. So we'll say in that case, we put the asham out to pasture. Remember again, we already figured out what do we do with that animal. We let it graze until when? Until it develops a mum, at which point in time you sell it. Use the money ultimately. You put that into Beis Hamikdash coffers, and they use it ultimately for Beis Hamikdash karbanos. So we'll say, what's that halacha? So an asham which was put out to pasture, v'shachto stam. And then what happens? We'll say, someone comes along and shechts it. Now shachto stam means, let's say somebody shechts it for an ola. What's that halacha? Kosher. The carbon is good. Fine. So the Gemara says, what can you infer from this? Nitak in, lo nitak lo. Now it sounds like the reason it's kosher, we'll say, is why? Because nitak, we'll say, now what does nitak mean? Nitak means it was removed. It sounds like the reason why it's kosher is because it was actively removed from service. Look at Rashi, nitak in, dime akar shem ashamine mishenim salaroa. Because ultimately, again, the designation of an asham was removed from it as soon as it was put out to pasture. They come stame la'ola. Lo nitak lo havestame la'ola. The Merkar will say, what can you see from here? When can you repurpose an asham ultimately as an ola? That's only when Rabbi say, if the asham was already repurposed. It was already set out to pasture. So because it was already set out to pasture, the asham designation was removed. Somebody comes along and shechts as an ola, it's kosher. So we ask, however, so shachto stam kosher, nitak in lo, nitak lo. My time, Rabbi say, so why is that? Now what we can infer from this, Rabbi say, is as follows. What is very exciting, when could an asham be repurposed? Rabbi say, when could it be repurposed? When essentially it was already de facto repurposed. When was it already de facto repurposed? Why? When it was set out to pasture. It was again, Reuven was supposed to bring an asham. Reuven died. Can't bring an asham after the, sounds like can't bring an asham after the death of the owner. It's set out to pasture. Once it's set out to pasture, then what? It's really no longer an asham. Once it's no longer an asham, if someone comes along and shechts it for an ola, the carbon is kosher. But it sounds like only in that case, where if somebody shechted an asham for some reason other than an asham, the carbon is good. But in the stamp case of an asham, where the asham is still an asham, and someone came along and shechted it for a different purpose, it sounds like what? The carbon will not be good. What's the reason? Amakra, my taima, my amakra, who bahav yaso yehe? And what would be the reason for that? The reason for that is because the pasuk by asham says that what? That halacha lemaisa who? Who? What's that means? That it remains in this state of asham. It remains in the state of asham, very much like a chatas. Yasiv Nachman Rav Sheshes, V'yasav Rav Ada Bar Masna Gabayav Yasiv V'ka'amri Hadu Kamar Rabbi Lazar Matzino Bebayin La'achar Misa Shein Kshein Ve'im Mason Ve'im Ratzin. So we'll say that which Rabbi Lazar said. So had to come Rabbi Lazar, Matzinu Beboim La'achar Misa, we can be found ultimately again by Karbanos, which could be brought after the death of their owners, Shenk Sherin Ve'im Miratzin. We'll say that ultimately again they're kosher, but they don't affect any type of change on behalf of the owner. Lema Leirish Lakish, Hano Lami Nami Laisu Vilersu. We'll say, why doesn't Reish Lakish ultimately say that these should be brought and should also affect atonement on behalf of the owner? Amru Rabad Bar Masna Yoledes. And he Yolda Barneha Mi Yoldu. So Rabad Bar Masna says ultimately again at the end of the day, what about by the case of Yoledes? Right? We'll say by the case of Yoledes, then halach, look at Rashi for just a moment. Hano Nami Lesu Viler Tzu Ayarshim. So the Gemara says, what about the case of Yoledes? So we'll say now by the case of Yoledes, we saw that if halacha lemaisa, remember again, if she brought her chatos but didn't bring her ola, so the yarshim could bring the ola on her behalf, right? If she brought her ola but didn't bring her chatos, they can't bring the chatos on her behalf. So Rav Agner Masa says, how could the yarshim of the ola des bring a carbon for their deceased mother? She's the one who gave birth, and therefore again the atonement is necessary for her for reasons we'll discuss. Ultimately, again, what shaychas do they have with the carbon? Maskef Ravasi, uman lemalon, di ika kama ase gaba lo miskapra, vechiven dechi ika kama ase gaba mechapra, yorsher nami mechapra, lememra dekanyo. So we'll say, listen to this. This is actually quite interesting. As we're going to see, well, we'll have to stop over here with this. And we'll say, but halacha lemaisa, the Gemara suggests as follows, which is, when the Yoledes brings, we'll say, her Arla, that's by Bris, right? That's by Moshim Rabbis Arla, so, right? So that's the next pasuk. But if she brings her Ola, that Ola not only takes care, ultimately, again, of halacha lemaisa, her Yoledes obligations, but it also takes care if there are any other obligations that she had upon her. So maybe we should say that the Yarshim, if she dies before bringing the Ola, let the Yarshim bring the Ola on her behalf, and not only bring the Ola, or let them bring her Ola, and that Ola could also atone for what? For any obligations that they may have. Look at Rashi just a moment. Man lema di'ika kama ase gaba, te'oledes lo mechapra lo salayu, imivia mechaim ola mechaperes ala se valo sa se shinintak la se. What's actually quite interesting, that the halacha is that a woman gives birth, she has to bring a chatas and an ola. So that ola not only takes care of certain elements of childbirth, but also what? Also goes out and takes care of other pre-existing obligations that she may have. So why don't we say now that when the mother dies, hasn't offered up her Ola, the Yarshim will come and offer up the Ola, and that'll take care of their obligations as well. To which the Gemara says, Lememra dekanyelu. Well, that only works if what? If you tell me that when the mother dies, the Yarshim ultimately, again, mamish take possession of this Ola. If they take possession of the Ola, then Enoch Inami, the Ola could affect the torment on their behalf. So we'll see, we'll have to stop over here for today. I'm leaving you a little bit on a cliffhanger, which is, so we'll say, just to understand, so let's go with what we've established. We'll say, we've established is we have two different psukim that teach us the halacha ultimately, again, that if a carbon is offered up, shalol lishma, whether it's shalol lishem bailim or shalol lishem carbon, that the carbon is still good. Right? Zos toras, and motzah svasecha. Those are the two psukim that teach us. We discussed the need for both of those psukim. We've established is, so the one thing we pretty much spent the majority of our Dan Abosai is what? Is Asham. Which category does Asham ultimately belong to? Does Asham belong to the Shlamim family, or does Asham belong to the Chatas family? Everyone agrees, by Karban Chatas, that what? That if the Chatas is offered up Shalol Lishma, whether Shalol Lishem Bayim or Shalol Lishem Karban, what's the halacha? The chatos is pasul. Not only does it not satisfy the owner's obligation, but it's pasul. Where do we learn that from? Gezer sakasov. Osa. Torah says, osa chatos. The chatos has to be the shema on all levels, and if not, it is pasul. The tension of today's daf was, where does Asham belong? Does Asham belong with chatos? Does Asham belong ultimately again with shlamim? That's the machlokis. Reish Lakish himself seemed to come around to the idea that ultimately, again, Asham belongs with Shlamim, and therefore Halacha Lemaisa shares that quality, even if offered up Shalom Lishma, ultimately, again, the carbon is good, but does not satisfy the owner's obligation. The Gemara seems to end off with a little bit of a tension about that, from that last case of the Asham being put out to pasture. The Gemara now goes on a quick tangent. The quick tangent that we're going to is going back to the case of Yoledes. And what we'll pick up with tomorrow, Bosa, is in a case where, let's say, a parent dies, children inherit the estate of the parents, and included in that estate is what? Karbanos. Do the children inherit those karbanos or not? So we'll say, again, we'll see that they can offer up their karbanos, but do they inherit it? What's the afkamina if they inherit it or not? If what happens if the children themselves have some pre-existing obligations, can they satisfy their pre-existing obligations with what? With the karban that they inherited from their parents? Emir Teshin to be continued tomorrow. Shkoyah.
If you bring a carbon, aren't you going to get because you have